Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. What a joy and privilege it is to share a message today from God's Word from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. The title of the message is The Praises of a Priest. Again, the scripture for today, Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. Before I begin, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. I ask you, Lord, to keep us from distractions. Open up our ears and hearts to the truths in your holy word. I pray the words I speak are clear and have provide conviction according to your will. Not my will, Lord, but your will. For all these things, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What a joyous season we have upon us. The message from today has a similar theme as the message that was shared regarding the prayers of Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. These themes of adoring God for being Lord and acknowledging his great attributes of being holy and merciful. The themes of thanking God for his grace and the gift of salvation through his son, Jesus, as well as the power to speak peace, life, and hope into other people, is overwhelmingly present in these passages. Also in these passages, there are lessons that we can learn that is beneficial to cultivating a prayer life that is purposeful, vibrant, and aligned with God's word. That is my hope. As we are looking at some of these passages that may seem familiar to some, maybe not to others, but regardless, if each of us would ask God to give you a fresh perspective of who God is, what he has done, and what his word says to impact our lives, especially our lives in prayer. For today, as we look at Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79, we will see Zacharias being filled with the Holy Spirit and begins to prophesy. We learn from Zacharias on today, praise Lord God for Jesus and his work of salvation for his people. Not just this season, but in every season to come. We must continuously praise God for Jesus and his work of salvation for his people. Specifically, to apply to our prayer lives in these verses, we will see the importance of adoring the Lord God as Master. We will see that we have the privilege of having Jesus Christ as Messiah, as well as the privilege to thank God for the messengers that he sends to tell the good news about Jesus. Luke opens the book by letting us know that this is the days of Herod, the king of Judah. And there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah who was serving. Zacharias had a wife named Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, both heeding the commands of God. This couple did not have any children, but spent time praying for a very long time for children. But by now, they were old in age, and it was safe for them to conclude that maybe this was just not going to happen. Maybe this was going to be a request that God was not going to answer the way that they expected him to. Surprisingly, while Zacharias was on duty, an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appeared to him and told him that his prayers and the prayers of his wife have been heard, and that Elizabeth was going to bear a son, and they will call his name John. Luke chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 tells us that the priest Zacharias had doubts on how this would happen. And as a punishment, he would be mute and not be able to speak until the things that the angel had said would take place. So from that time and the 9 months going forward, Zacharias could not speak. Elizabeth did conceive a child. And while carrying John, who would be known as John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel made yet another visit, and this time to a humble servant girl named Mary, who was actually a relative of Elizabeth in a town called Nazareth, who was given the best news any mother will get in human history. He would give birth to the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shortly after receiving this news, Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth in the town of Judah. This is where we spent some of our time last message, hanging out around these verses. Verse 40 through 55 of Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth and Mary had exchanged pleasantries, but then Mary breaks out into a personal praise session, which is recorded in verses 46 through 55. In this time of praise, we glean wisdom on things that our prayers must encompass, which is having a joyful attitude, having God's attributes in mind, and reflecting on God's actions in our prayers. After this song of praise from Mary, Luke tells us that the full time came for Elizabeth to deliver. She had a son, and on the eighth day, her friends and relatives came to circumcise the child and to name him after his father, Zacharias. Elizabeth interjected and said, "No, his name will be John." John, by the way, means Jehovah is gracious, or the Lord is merciful. The crowd dismissed her request and said that it makes sense because there was no one in their family by the name of John. So they turned to Zacharias, who was still unable to talk. Still 9 months later, he wrote on a writing tablet, which says his name would be John. Verse 64 tells us that immediately in the King James Version or the New King James Version or the ESV or the NIV, if you're reading any of those Bible translations, you see the word immediately. In the NASB, you see the word at once. Or you may have a children's Bible and the version might say right away. Either way, immediately, once he verified that the name would be John, his mouth was open and his tongue was loose. To understand the importance of this, you have to look back at verse 20 of Luke chapter 1, which says, "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the days these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in its time." And then also back in verse 13, it says, "But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayers heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now, there is a principle we can take away from this. That is, we must be fully convinced, which means have great faith, that while we wait on the Lord, that he will be true to his word. Again, we must be fully convinced that while we wait on the Lord, that he will be true to his word. When we pray, we present specific requests of even if God has revealed something to us, we must be faithful while we wait on the Lord. A scripture reference to this principle is in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, where Paul writes, referencing Abraham. He says he did not waver to the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he promised, he was also able to perform. Now, what was this referring to? There was an example in the Bible that shows that God gave a specific instruction or promise and gave the timing in which it would be fulfilled. In other words, when it would come true. For example, specifically referring to Abraham alone, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, there was a promise or a warning that was given. It says in Genesis chapter 15, 13, it says, "Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. This is referring to the enslavement of the children of Israel in Egypt. So if you turn your pages forward to Exodus chapter 12, verses 40 through 41, it says, "Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." Here the promise was fulfilled. Here's another example. This one is also Abraham. When God promised that he and Sarah would have a son in their old age, in Genesis chapter 18, verses 14, the promise is given, which is, verse 14 says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son." Then looking forward in the scripture at Genesis chapter 21, verse 2, we have the promise fulfilled. It says, "For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him." Now, I say all this as we think about this principle of being fully convinced in God and patiently waiting for his will to be done. It will bless your life significantly. If we think about Zacharias and how the angel promised that he will be mute until the day that will be fulfilled, that he will have a son, and that his name will be John. If you can look back into your scripture at Luke chapter 1, you will see that immediately when Zacharias confirmed that his son's name will be John, his tongue was loose. Again, this powerful principle, being fully convinced in God and waiting for his will to be done. Specifically in your prayer life, it may be that you have prayed about something. God has given you confirmation in some way that it will come to pass. We should remain faithful, that he is faithful to his promise, even when our situation may not be panning out the way we think that it should. Remember how we have been reminded time and time again that there is nothing impossible to God. It will happen when God says it will happen. We must remain steadfast in our waiting. We must remain faithful in the serving. We must remain faithful in the loving on others. We must remain faithful in living integrity. We just must remain faithful and be fully submitted to a life of praising God for his glory all the way long. Getting back to the text, Zacharias has been muted, means he has to hold his peace, or he has been kept quiet involuntarily. Now, he can hear quite well, but he just didn't have the ability to speak. But the text says immediately, Zechariah's tongue was loose. You must imagine the emotion. He has been mute for around 9 whole months. And now being filled with the Holy Spirit signifies that God's renewed presence is among Zacharias. Let's read scripture. Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79. Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79. It reads, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we be delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him in all days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." In verse 68, Zechariah says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." He says, "Praise is the Lord God of Israel." To call God Lord is to reverence him for being the owner, the one who possesses you, the one who is in control. And a good word to sum all of this up is master. Blessed is the master of Israel. He has visited and redeemed his people. When we read this, we can sometimes forget about the fact that the people had experienced a silence from God. They knew of the promised Messiah, but they had not been given any word from any of the prophets for quite some time about the promise being fulfilled. They were waiting for the coming Messiah. Zechariah says that he has visited and redeemed his people. To redeem means to set free by paying a price. This is a direct reference of the anticipated freedom from the bondage of sin since the fall of man. God has redeemed his people by way of the anticipated birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the only one through which the people could be delivered from their sins. Here in verse 68, as we think about what is going on, how Zacharias, who once was mute and for 9 months could not speak, whose tongue is loose and immediately began praising God, this we have a principle to apply in our lives. And when we think about our prayers, that principle is praise God for being master. Adore him for being Lord. Let us reverently worship him. Let us make him big in our thoughts and not ourselves. Praise God for being master. And he is merciful master who has redeemed his people. Again, praise God for being master. How did the master redeem his people? We see through the following verses ending in Luke chapter 1. But first, let's break down verses 69 through 75. It says, "And he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. This is where Zacharias talks about the coming Messiah and the work of the Messiah. In verse 69, Zacharias says, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The Bible translation, the New Living Translation, and others says in verse 69 that he has sent us a mighty savior from the royal line of his servant David. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and this phrase, horn of salvation, symbolizes a strong king. This strong king from the lineage of David, we can track that lineage back in Matthew chapter 1. Also, it has been foretold, as we were told in verse 70. It says, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, been telling of the coming Messiah. This is referring to prophets such as Isaiah, who had prophecy of the coming Messiah all over his book. That's why Isaiah is known as the messianic prophet. Other prophets such as Micah, who in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, which says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrath, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whom origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. Micah gave the exact birthplace of the Messiah, which would be in Bethlehem. All throughout scripture, by divine order of events that God orchestrated, and out of the mouths of the holy prophets, the promises of the Messiah were given. Promises fulfilled by our Savior, Jesus Christ, the horn of our salvation that we see in the verses 71 through 75. The promise in verse 71 that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And who hates us more than Satan? Who is referred to the thief in John chapter 10, verses 10, which says that Satan only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But we have a Savior, Jesus, who have come to save us from our enemies, to save us from the hands of Satan, to give us life, and that we shall have it more abundantly. Let us not forget here of the promise that Zacharias is referencing here in verse 72, which says the mercy that we benefit from the way of the holy covenants of God. Here, Zacharias talks specifically about the covenant of Abraham that we read about in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, where Abraham is told that the seed of all nations of the earth shall be blessed through him. Another covenant that is linked to the birth of Jesus is also the Davidic covenant. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 16, it says, since that time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all enemies, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seeds after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chastise him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. That is in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And that throne is now being established forever, referring to Jesus. Again, this promise that we will be delivered from the hand of our enemies and might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. What this says is that Jesus will deliver us from our enemies. In other words, the works of the evil and the forces that go against God. We will be redeemed. We will be set free so that we can serve him without fear or guilt or shame or judgment or under any type of bondage. But instead, we have been given the ability by a way of the Holy Spirit to be set apart and to be made right with God for the rest of our lives, all through Jesus. We have to take this to heart. We have to root this in our truth, in our spirit. And a verse that comes to mind, which is Romans chapter 8, verses 1, which says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. So let us recap. Verse 68, Zacharias began praising God for being master. And that is a principle that we can take away from that passage. Praise God for being master. Verse 69 through 75, Zacharias here is praising God for the Messiah, who is the horn of our salvation. In other words, referring to Jesus as the strong king who saves us. a savior who we have been told about by the prophets, who will deliver us from our enemies and make us able to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness for the rest of our lives. Here in verse 69 through 75, we can take away another principle, that is to praise God for sending the Messiah. Praise God for sending the Messiah. Then in verse 76 through 79, Zacharias continues to praise God for Jesus and to bless him for being Jesus. He directly addresses his son, John. And you have to put yourself in the moment to grasp how rich this time is. Think about this now. These are the first words that Zacharias has spoken for 9 months. He first gives God all the praise, acknowledging him as Lord, as Master. This is profound. Just think. If you had your speech taken away for 9 months, what would be the first words that would come out of your mouth? But anyway, thinking about Zacharias here, he gives God praise and then acknowledges God for sending the Messiah and what all that means. Then here, 8 days after his son was born, we're told this back in verse 59, so that he has been hearing John cry. He has held John. He has been filled with all the emotions of being a new dad for 8 days. And now here on the 8th day, he has gotten the ability to talk. Here in verse 76, he speaks to his son, John, who we know as John the Baptist, and says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest." Here, Zacharias is doing something that is very significant, and that he is blessing his son. Now, the blessings of a child is very significant, especially in the Jewish culture. It was a way for parents to express hopes for their children in the form of their physical and spiritual well-being. This blessing was mostly given by the father, usually as the father would hold his baby close to his chest and speak the blessings to the child. And also of these blessings would be the blessings from Bible verses. When I was looking at scripture right here, it made me think about other fathers who take the blessings of their children significantly. There's a preacher named Crawford Loritz. He shares often how at the birth of each of his kids and grandkids, when he is able to hold them for the first time, he recites a verse of blessing. It is the same verse of blessing that he uses for all of his kids and grandkids. Also, in another example, I saw in a documentary by the Kindred brothers, Show Me the Father, of how their father spoke blessings to them at their weddings. They both recalled how they were standing there with their brides, of how their dad went on for minutes just speaking blessings after blessings directly from the word of God. And I'm going to share a personal example. When choosing a name for our son, my wife and I really looked at the scriptures. We really hoped and prayed that he would walk in the ways of the Lord, that his eyes would be set on God. Overall, our prayer was that he would ultimately be a man who would submit his life to Jesus Christ. Long story short, we looked at some names of kings, and the name Josiah stuck out because Josiah is in the lineage of Jesus. If you look back in Matthew chapter 1, then when I turned to 2 Kings chapter 22 and read of the story of Josiah and how he was a righteous king. And at one point he was read the book of the law and he saw how the people were not living according to those commands. And he immediately tore his robe and he made changes. He destroyed all the idols. He made a decree that for him and his house, that they will follow the Lord. That is the hope that I have for my son, and that is blessings that I speak over him. I share all of that with you so that you understand that my prayer for my son is that I will hold him accountable to what his name signifies. Blessings are important. That is a word for all the parents as well as grandparents. The blessing of our children is important. Remember that what Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." As the scripture is very clear, and the tongue, that is the power of life and death. I say to you now, speak life. Speak blessings over your children. Pray blessings over them. Now, if you are in a position where in the past you may not have spoke life to your children, you can still speak life now. Don't let the past affect what you do now and the days ahead. It is never too late. You are still parents. Your kids are never too old. Continue to bless them, pray for them, proclaim God's truth from his word over them. Now, getting back to the text, this is what Zacharias is doing. He is blessing his son and tells John that he will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He's telling John at that moment, at that infant stage, that he would be a messenger of the Lord and be called the prophet of the highest, because John would go before Jesus and let the people know of the coming Messiah. John is called the prophet, a messenger. In addition to giving God praise for being master and thanking him for sending the Messiah, Zacharias here acknowledges God for the messenger. Give God praise for those he sends, the messengers. That's another principle. Give God praise for those he sends to us, his messengers. We're told in verse 77 that John would give knowledge of the salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, which means that John would go before Jesus' ministry begins, that the Savior will arise. And because of the Savior, their sins will be dismissed, because God, through his tender mercy, has sent a day spring. The day spring means to a sunrise. This is an image of God restoring his people through the Messiah. The day spring, Jesus, who in verse 79 says will give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, who will give the people peace. Here overall, let us not forget in this Advent season, this season of waiting for the celebration of Jesus, of all the blessings of salvation that he makes possible. Let me review. In verse 71, the blessings of being delivered from our enemies. In verse 72, the blessings of having the mercy from God. In verse 73, the blessings of the justification by faith we have. In verse 74, the blessings of peace with God. In verse 75, the blessings of holiness and righteousness. In verse 77, the blessings of being reconciled to God. And in verse 79, the blessings of being brought out of darkness into light and being guided by peace. Let us worship God, our Heavenly Father, and give him the glory and honor that he deserves. In a time of the year that may be extremely busy for most or extremely lonely, depending on your situation, regardless of the category in which you fall, remember the reason for the season, and it is to focus on Christ. Again, you can't have Christmas without Christ. Referring back to the text, Zechariah the priest, who was once mute, now giving God all praise. Prayerfully, we have been encouraged in this message of the importance of being purposeful in our prayers and praising God, our Lord, remembering Jesus and his work of salvation, as well as praying for the messengers. As I looked at the passage and was studying the prophecy of Zacharias, he used a lot of references from scriptures. Having some knowledge of the scriptures helped me connect some of the references that were in this. The list of cross references that was connected was quite a bit, but it taught me something also. Zacharias in his prophecy was very intentional in his words because it was the words of scripture. We too need to be intentional in our prayers. That is why praying the scriptures are very important. There is a book called Praying the Bible by Don Whitney, in which I recommend. You will learn how to be intentional in your prayers. And this book is very powerful. So I recommend for you to check it out. Again, it's called Praying the Bible by Don Whitney. Also, as we think about God, our Lord, who is merciful, who has raised the horn of salvation, a mighty Savior, who saves us from our enemies, which is ironic because even when we were all enemies of God, dead in our sin, rejecting Jesus, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and rose on the third day, signifying that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the ultimate price of surrender for our sins. We must confess our sin and believe Jesus is Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord, thank you for being with us and never leaving us. Thank you for hearing the prayers of your children. Give us patience to wait on your timing and not do anything in our own will that you do not intend. Just as you answered the prayer of Zacharias and Elizabeth of allowing them to have a child, we have faith also you will answer our prayers as they are aligned with your will. Lord, I ask you strengthen the believer in their faith as well as open the hearts of those who may not yet believe to the work that your son Jesus has done on the cross for them. Let this be the day that someone will repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. Pray everything that was said and done is pleasing to you. And all things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, church planner of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions about today's message, if you have a prayer request or have decided to follow or renew your commitment to Jesus, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 a.m. on Sunday mornings or at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in His Word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.